Thanks, Rob. It's Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, it's time for Studio 435, our weekly segment that features live performance in our All-State Showcase studio right here on beautiful Michigan Avenue. Tonight, we bring you the Chicago band Dream Version. Dream Version is a rock trio that just put out the album Fight Fair, an album that singer-songwriter Alec Jensen called, quote, a failed protest album. maybe the message. We'll get into that, but certainly not the music. The album's layered. It's mature. It combines the right mix of melody and anger. Dream Version is Eric Brummett on guitar, keys, vocals as well. Alec Jensen, of course, the vocals, bass. Michael Kunick on drums, vocals as well. They leave on tour on Wednesday, but they are in studio tonight. Dream Version, what's up, guys? Thanks for being here.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Thanks for being here. All right, so let's get right into it. Failed protest album. I love it. I mean, I was sent a short essay about this album, and I love it. I mean, the idea of what gets in the way,
right,
of all of our desire to protest.
Yeah, so it's an angry album, and it started out as an attempt to write sort of an extroverted, like, let's kind of change the world kind of record. And then I found myself running into all these roadblocks where I would ask myself, well, what are you doing about this? And the answer was usually nothing. So about half the album is trying to figure out the answer to that question: why aren't you doing anything?
Would you call it a theme record in that regard? I mean, do you kind of look at it like this is all sort of going after that existential question? That
yeah, more so than anything that I've written before. I mean, there are a handful of songs that are taking people to task for things in a very straightforward way, but then again, about half of the record, it's like trying to figure out what's going on psychologically that's preventing me and I think a lot of other people from making changes.
Yeah,
yeah.
And let me bring the other guys in as well. I mean, when you guys are creating music, do you think of it message first, or do you think of it of, oh, well, this is a great melody, this is a good song? Like, what? Talk about the process of taking Alec's words and some of the message that we just talked about to music.
Well, I mean, you know, so Alec is definitely a lead songwriter, so he'll come to us with songs, not so much words already, and then we'll hear the words starting to come in, the melodies come in. But I will tell you this with the message as far as playing together, and I don't know how it does affect us, the way we play and the way we sculpt his demos, but we do have conversations about, like, here's what we're doing. Here's what this is about.
This is what the song's about. Right.
And, you know, we've talked about this before. I guess it is part of our process that does also have an outcome on the way we perform songs.
Yeah. Let me ask the same question, Eric. I mean, for you as a guitar player and someone who produces music, I mean, do you think message first, music first? What's your process?
Yeah, it's Alec is you know, he's a great songwriter, and he comes to us with oftentimes pretty fully formed ideas, and this album was, I found it really easy to get behind this message and to just latch on to things. And there were several things that I think Alec wasn't even totally sure if, you know, how does this read? Is this right for us? Is this going to be a song on the album? And I think there were some points where we were like, yeah, absolutely, this has to be on the album. You know, there some moments he wasn't sure if they, you know, if it meant something to someone else other than him. And to me, there were moments there where I heard things that really hit me. And that's a cool thing to be a part of, when I've had no role in writing something, you know, to have that, to be able to get behind what it's about. It really means a lot.
You know, for you as someone who, when we said it's kind of like a theme record, when you're writing songs, you're demoing songs, you're getting the band together, you're playing the stuff, does it become harder to kill your babies? In the way that maybe the third or fourth song, you're like, that's not, but that's a big part of what I'm trying to say.
Yeah, I mean, we cast a pretty wide net. For this record, I wrote probably a solid 20 songs. And so one way that these guys, it sounds critical, but one of the ways that these guys are really helpful is, so there are a couple songs where we're like, you know, this is a great song, but it's not a Dream Version song. And so that's actually helpful to me. And it's also really helpful to see what they'll latch onto. Like, mm-hmm. there's this one song, Shame, on the record, that's like a 5 minute long drone. I mean, it's like something that I would assume would only connect with a very small number of people. But when they heard it, they were like, yeah, we got to do this. And I was like, really? I mean, I was psyched, but
right.
I was surprised.
With two.
So,
connected with two.
Do you guys, I mean, and I had the good fortune of being able to read the essay and be able to internalize what the message of the music is. If I'm just stumbling across your music, here's a good example. Before I was sent anything, and I do this, I'll be in the car. I know that you guys are coming up on the weekend. I'll put the album on. I'll start listening to the stuff, right? And I don't know the ethos. I don't know any of the philosophy or what message you're trying to get across. And frankly, I have to say that, you know, based on the way that iTunes and other places now give you the option, I can shuffle, I can move things around. Right. I'm not listening in any order that's going to necessarily key me into. Or, you know, like, so how do you deal with that as musicians, the fact that a lot of people will be listening to your music for the music, not necessarily for the message?
Yeah, it's tricky. If you're not a really well-established artist, I think it's hard to really get people to take an album seriously as like a unit, as something that needs to be listened to from start to finish. So, I mean, we have always taken pride in kind of thinking of our music as a little bit of a Trojan horse, just in that it should be able to hit people on a relatively immediate level and sound poppy and melodic, hopefully. And then the idea is if you sit with it for a little bit longer, you should be able to, you know, it'll reward repeat lessons.
Right. How do you guys approach that? I mean, the idea that essentially making a de facto theme album in this day and age is a lot tougher because of the technology that people use, the platforms that people consume it on.
Yeah, I think if you go back to when we were trying to make a track list, that was a big thing. We, you know, there were certain sacrifices we had to make, thematic sacrifices we had to make to take into consideration how people listen and that they're, you know, if you watch, you know, you can, nowadays you can track all your plays and stuff online, and you always see the first song on an album always has way more plays than any other song. You know,
our poor last songs.
I love our last song. I've loved our last song since, you know, the first time I heard it, and it's gone through this crazy evolution to be what it is on the album. There's actually something kind of satisfying about knowing that the people who get there are going to have hopefully have this reward that
Does that put pressure on you guys? I mean, I think of a different time, and I'm thinking like now the idea that you can see how many people press play on an album, whether it be SoundCloud or the impressions on any of the streaming stuff. Does it change the way you approach an album, that you're like, our first song has to be great so that people will stay for the hook for the second, third, fourth, fifth?
I mean, the other weird thing that you can do is like a lot of independent bands use this site called Bandcamp, and you can set which song plays first.
Right.
So we'll like switch it up, and you can see the songs that you make the most readily available to your audience are the ones that they'll listen to the most. So I don't even know necessarily how much it has to do with the quality of the song or how much it connects. It's just like
whatever's
what
there
are
to
you
play.
Hitting people over
play.
The head with. What are you making it the most convenient for people to hear?
That has to change the art form.
It does. Well, you know, like on our last record, what's considered, it was the single, and what's probably the most popular song, definitely the song, even at our shows today, still connects most with people, was like number 9.
Yeah, I think it was Track 9.
And that was dumb, you know, as we look back. I mean, it fit there, and that's, and we make,
for it.
Well,
I
we make,
for it to be Track 1.
I know, I'm sorry, we thought it was too emo, but that's why he writes the songs, and this one, we're like, oh, that's a good idea. Yes, let's use that song. But anyways, we learned from that, and frankly, because it is a song that really connects with people, and it took a long time. Now it's there, but it would have been there a lot sooner for everybody had we put it at number 2 or number 1.
So interesting.
That's always been the pressure, though. I mean, you listen to Purple Rain, you're going to hear most of the best tracks in the first 3 or 4 songs. You know, it's
And it is true. I was just thinking about how Apple Music does it. They put a little star next to the songs I'm supposed to listen to.
Uh-huh.
And I'm sure you guys are the ones that say that's the song that we want. I don't know.
I was
going
to ask you guys about that, actually. Like, I'm not kidding. I was on my to-do list this week.
Yeah, I don't know how it works, technically. But, I mean, it is that tells me this is the song that other people have played the most. So click on this one.
Oh, that's probably similar to, like, Spotify. They just whatever song's been played the most recently. They have it. Some of it's based on all-time plays, and some of it's what's popular now.
Yeah,
but, you know, but it just – it's like a – it doesn't – necessarily get people to the best song or the song that they'll like the most or anything like that. It's just kind of what people are playing, which happens to usually be the first song.
Well,
it's
an interesting contrast as musicians, especially what you guys are what you guys have accomplished with Fight Fair to go after a themed idea, this failed protest album, in a day and age in which it's hard to tell a story through tracks because of the way people listen to it. I just think that's an interesting contrast.
Yeah, it's hard because my inclination, my sort of knee-jerk reaction, I'm always against whatever new technologies just appeared. It's not a rational thing. It's not a good thing. So I try to think about David Bowie sometimes when I think about, okay, embracing, anticipating what's next. You got to understand this is the way that people are going to listen, and you can't go to war with it. There are ways that we should that we can be taking advantage of it. You know, we've never actually really done much with releasing just standalone singles, but there's no reason not to. I mean, that's how people are listening to stuff. So that might be the next thing that we try. Let's just drop a song here and there.
Alec Jensen, Eric Brummett, Michael Kunick, they are Dream Version. They're going on tour on Wednesday. The album is called Fight Fair. Here's what we'll do. We'll take a break. We will come back live music in Studio 435 with the band Dream Version. Stay with us. Welcome back to Studio 435 here on the download, 720 WGN. This, of course, where we play the best live music Chicago has to offer right here on beautiful Michigan Avenue in our Allstate Showcase studio. Tonight, the Chicago band Dream Version. That's Eric Brummett, Alex Jensen, and Michael Kunick. The album is called Fight Fair, and they're about to leave on tour this week. But before they did that, they come in here. We appreciate that. So let's hear their first track tonight, the song I Can See Everything. Here they are, Dream Version. Take it away, guys.
Everybody.
we go.
Thank you. Thanks.
Love it. Dream version in studio 435 tonight. That was Eric Brummett, Alec Jensen, and Michael Kunick. The album is called Fight Fair. That track was called I Can See Everything. They are heading out on tour this week, but they stop by here, Studio 435, before they do that. All right, here's what we're going to do. We'll get an update on tonight's news. We'll get another sound check. We'll get some songs for the second half of Studio 435, our weekly segment where we feature live music in Studio 435, our Allstate Showcase studio here on 720 WGN. Thanks, Rob. It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. Studio 435, our weekly segment that features live music in our Allstate Showcase studio right here on Michigan Avenue. Tonight, the band Dream Version Trio, Eric Brummett, Alex Jensen, Michael Kunick. Their album, their latest, is called Fight Fair. The rock trio are leaving on Wednesday, but they're in studio tonight. The band Dream Version, here is the track, I'm Still As Spoiled As The Day I Was Born. Take it away, guys.
I borrowed a tie, so burden my body. Drain me like a sink, make me weak and godly. Transform me from a little child. So references were checked and forms were filed, and my first mistake was doing hard work for its own sake. Now my frame is battered and worn, and I'm still spoiled as I was born. 13, I admire your silver hair. Sunken eyes and the troubled look you wear. Hard work for its own sake. Now my frame is battered and worn, and I'm still spoiled as the day I was born. And the moral is, sometimes a cross is just a cross. Sometimes, yeah, a
that sustain on that keyboard. I love it. The band Dream Version in studio tonight. Eric Brummett, Alec Jensen, and Michael Kunick, the trio. Their album is called Fight Fair. That song was called I'm Still As Spoiled as the day I was born. Put the microphones away here, or the instruments away. Get back on those microphones. All right. Let me ask about Alec. I wanted to bring us back to the conversation about the album and everything that goes into it, because you know, you in the essay that I was reading about putting this record together, you say my definition of fighting fair, it turns out, means not fighting at all.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So, you know, when I was writing these sort of fight songs, the question came up of, well, if I write this song, am I fighting fair? So that became either having too much empathy for the people that I'm angry with. The first song in the record's called I Want to Be Angry. And it's like, I want to be angry, but it's like this thing that I can't do. And at least one of the things was like talking about, there's a lyric about the pressure on the cops. And so I'm like trying to work up this anger to motivate myself to, you know, to go out and protest, you know, in the streets about police brutality and stuff like that. And then there's this part of me that's like, it's just a natural part of my personality that just goes to empathize, like, and to imagine, well, what are things like from the police standpoint? And then, you know, there is something that I think most people wouldn't hesitate to tell you is a good thing. It's a positive trait, but there's like a weird way that it gets in the way eventually of doing some good. And I guess the other thing is just, I was raised Protestant, and there are all kinds of Christian ideas also that, you know, the same kind of thing. Let he who is without sin cast the first stone. Well, okay, we're gonna sit around for a whole pretty long time before somebody takes the president to task for his latest right, charades or right, whatever. The question sort of became, all right, am I gonna shed these kind of personality traits that I've always thought are good? Are they actually good?
To be able to showcase this anger, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And it's interesting because you mentioned in the essay as well that, you know, you kind of have the reason this all came about is you sensed an anger.
Oh,
you go to different shows and things like that, and different bands, and you guys essentially wanting to change your sound almost in a way of saying, you know what, let's get more aggressive. Let's not be a pop band. You know, you lost a member, and it was like, all right, let's do something. Let's key into the zeitgeist. Let's get in there. But you couldn't pull it off.
Yep.
Yeah, the last song is just like, never mind.
Yeah. That's another thing about sequencing. It's like, all right, are we going to end with like that first song that we performed in here? Right. I can see everything. It's like triumphant. Like, we're going to go out there. No, we ended the album with a shrug. Like, oh, I don't know, guys.
But there's something in that. I mean, I don't know. I do find that, you know, this is really an expression of art. And a lot of times art gets combined with political protest and other things in that regard, and I think it's incredibly honest to talk about how that's hard. It's hard sometimes to be able to, I mean, it's sometimes a mark of a good artist is to say it's not as easy just to be angry, or it's not as easy to, it's these issues that we're talking about in our society are a little bit more complicated than just sort of like
It's really important for us not to, it's just kind of part of the philosophy of the band, never to present ourselves as glamorous or heroic. It's just, we're only human.
Follow our Instagram feed, you'll know that. And we're not even that funny, turns out. But we try. No,
are you talking about my typo?
Oh, no, no. Oh, okay. Oh, how about the one you posted of me looking like my dog just died?
Oh, yeah.
while performing live. You know, one thing I would say, too, though, that I really like is, you know, this album is well, it's not a concept album, but there are themes throughout it that are pretty serious and heavy. But, you know, we also are, what I love about what Al does is these songs are still fun and our live shows are still fun. And, you know, just at our record release show at Lincoln Hall a month or so back, you know, I was blown away by how many people actually knew the lyrics. So they know what's going on, what's being talked about. And we're dancing like, you know, drunk people at, you know, last call at a wedding. And that's a really cool thing we can do that. We're not like Rage Against the Machine or something here. Like, we are
Although I think
you can access this however it works for you.
I would love that Rage Against the Machine would take your ethos for it's killing the name of I don't know. That's a little harder than that.
That's funny.
Yeah. That could be a different kind of band. Right. Well, I mean, where do you guys do you ever examine? It's hard. I get so heady here, but the idea that people are knowing the lyrics and they come out to your show and they're singing along. Are you hitting them with that sort of moment of emotion? Are you hitting them with the cerebral part that, you know, the lyrics are catchy, but they're also got something to say? I mean, what do you want the takeaway to be from an album like Fight Fair?
Oh, man. I mean, I hope that people have some kind of emotional response to it, including anger. I mean, there are some, man, if I there are some... Mm-hmm. Some real shameful lyrics on the record.
Nah.
No, but I mean,
you're lucky I didn't write the lyrics.
You know, it's. I think it should be fun. I think that the music should be fun. I think there should be something that hits you relatively immediately. I would love for people to dance. I think that people are often driven to dance, and you know what? If you want to spend the extra time with it and get the extra engagement with it, I think it'll reward you. But again, you know, we're hoping that there's something right there on the surface level that is just that's fun
it.
And that's yeah, and that, you know, people might react in their own emotional ways, but there's not just one way of experiencing it.
You know, for you guys, you're about to go on a tour. Mm-hmm. Talk about that experience. I mean, you guys are a trio. It makes it probably a little easier to maneuver on a tour. But, I mean, this is another moment for you guys in the way that you pack up your lives for a couple of two weeks or so and go to different towns. What's that like for you guys? I mean, explain that to us.
It's surprising. It works really well. I mean, people keep at the last time we were out on the road, people kept asking us, how are you getting along? Are you guys fighting yet? Are you guys, you know, and we're... just kept saying no. I mean, it works.
Should we?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I get along with these guys really well, so it's fun to hang out in the car with them for, you know, weeks on end. I mean,
lots of fart talk.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Different kinds of farts.
Yeah, the farthest thing from cerebral.
Yeah.
Let's leave that for the stage. Yeah. Right?
And, you know, it's always, it's funny too, like when people, if they listen to our album before we come into a town, and they have an idea of maybe what we're like or whatever, you know, or what the music's going to be like, to hear what we play in the car leading up to, you know, pulling it. It could be anything. Who knows what it is, but it's not like us for sure. So
he's just talking about, what was it, Cher? Is that what you were on a kick?
Oh, we were...
the last time we were on the road.
Shamefully, but the driver wasn't allowed to look. But we were streaming some Cher videos, and I could turn back time.
That's a good track, yeah.
Oh, good song,
strong
great video.
Stuff. That's the one on the battleship.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Never
seen that. Say no more. Say no more, guys. The band Dream Version in studio. The album's called Fight Fair. Dream Version is Eric Brummett, Alec Jensen, and Michael Kunick, and they are going to be leaving this week for tour. Where are you guys going to be? Like on?
We're heading south down to Austin, Texas, and it's pathway down and back.
There you go.
So. The last leg.
Here's what we'll do. We will take a quick break, and we'll get one more song from Dream Version tonight, Studio 435. Stay with us. Download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman in studio tonight, Studio 435. Dream Version, the trio, just put out the album Fight Fair. They are Eric Brummett, Alec Jensen, and Michael Kunick, and they are leaving on tour this week, heading down to Austin, Texas area, right through that area, right through the south. All right, so we're going to wrap up here. The final track tonight is the title track, Fight Fair. Here is the band, Dream Version. Take it away, guys.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. First rule of fighting fair is sit yourself one, sit yourself one.
without sin, cast the first stone. My army's ready, should be any day now. Oh, but first we gotta wash ourselves clean. Wash ourselves clean. And do it over. Said we're ready. Come on, take on. Rings within range. Come on, come on. And he takes, 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 and he takes. Lumber sell me across. Wash yourselves clean. Wash yourselves clean. And do it over. Wash yourselves clean. Wash yourselves clean. And do it over. Oh, you know I gotta fight fair. Fight fair. Fight fair. Fight fair. Fight fair. Fight fair.
Chicago band Dream Version in Studio 435 tonight. The trio, their album Fight Fair. That was the title track from Fight Fair. Dream Version is Eric Brummett, Alec Jensen, Michael Kunick, and they are leaving on tour, going south, starting this week. Do you guys have, you don't have any shows in Chicago coming up, do you?
No, not until September.
Not until September. Yeah. All right, there you go. You can find out all their stuff online. They got a Bandcamp page and everything else. You guys, thanks so much for playing tonight and being a part of Studio 435. We appreciate
it. Thanks for having us.